Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson, and happy Wedding Wednesday. As always, happy Wedding Wednesday to our Facebook and Twitter friends, and of course, happy holidays to everyone. We do hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving and that you got enough shopping done for your Christmas holiday. We're glad to have you join us for this month of Out with the Old for a Better New Year. If you joined us last month, we really dealt with finances. And that was a great time to really talk about getting your finances in order. And we had a special show earlier this week with Out with the Old for a Better New Year, dealing with finances with Bahia Shabazz. And we hope that you will definitely take a listen to that. But tonight, we will be focusing on relationships with Mr. Stephane Labossière, who is a certified life and relationship coach. We know that he is on a mission to help men and women experience happier and healthier and more fulfilling relationships. And if you have any questions for our guest tonight, please do not hesitate to call the number 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment about the conversation. Or, of course, if you just want to listen in, you can do that too. You know what? We're not even going to waste any time. We're going to bring him right on in and have him introduce himself and get right into the conversation about Out with the Old for a Better New Year. Stephane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. And yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
I am Stephane Labossière. I'm a certified life and relationship coach. Been doing this for about 6-7 years now. I was born in New York, but raised in Miami, Florida, and now reside in the Atlanta area. And I'm just a guy trying to help people live better and eliminate the negative energy from their lives and enjoy better, happier, more fulfilling relationships. Because, you know, there's a lot of people hurting, and I don't think we're addressing the issues properly, and we're not getting things done or getting the results we need. And I'm certain that this is my purpose and this is what God wants me to do, and that's why I fully embraced this path and doing everything that I can to help make a difference.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, now, I do want to say that we're going to definitely have a conversation with Stephane right now, and then if you have any questions or comments, so please come on in at about the 10 o'clock hour with that. We already have some questions posted in the room for you, which we will get into a little later on. I'm sure you're going to enjoy that.
I'm ready for anything. I'm ready for anything.
Okay. I was about to say, I hope you are ready because this is quite a crew. My crew is a crew, okay? So why don't we first just talk about your books. You have written 2 books. The first one being God, Where Is My Boaz? Is that correct?
That is correct.
And the second being How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You If You're Her Husband.
Yes.
I did not get a chance to read that one yet, but it sounds interesting already, and I can't wait to share that with a lot of my male friends, of course, just to see what they think about it and get some feedback from them. But the book that we're kind of talking about tonight is God, Where Is My Boaz? And you really use that book to address women in particular, correct?
Say that last part again.
The book God, Where Is My Boaz is a book where you address women, predominantly women.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, then let's talk about that because we want to get into improving relationships, how we can really make better decisions so that you can have a better new year. Like you said, you want to have people address their issues and move forward. So I read the book. I read parts of the book. And one of the points that you make, or that you talk about, rather, is something called putting in work. Let's talk about that. What do you mean by putting in work?
I mean that the reality is to achieve anything great in life, you're going to have to put forth effort. You're going to have to follow or endure a process in which, you know, it's going to possibly involve a lot of sacrifices, a lot of discipline, obedience, focus, patience, and it all amounts to putting in work. You can't think that you can sit back and God's just going to drop things in your lap. Now, yes, he can if he wishes to do so, but the reality is we won't learn nothing if he does it that way. So he allows us to go through things because it builds our character and it makes us who we are and allows us to become stronger and better and also have a testimony that we can then help someone else with. So I think that a lot of times single women and women who are believers in God are just told pray and wait, but there's no work. And I actually did an interview earlier and I told her we got to change it from pray and wait to pray, wait, and work. That's the,
right.
That work has to be there. If you don't have that, don't expect much to come your way.
Well, I guess everyone figured that the work part was implied, and only those who kind of understood that it was implied went ahead and did the work. But you're setting out to make it nice and clear for individuals to understand the process that it takes, not just to kind of seek after a mate, but to do the work on themselves in mm-hmm. order to attract what it is that they want. Is this correct?
That's correct, because, I mean, the reality is that until you become who you are, and you're not going to get all that you're supposed to get, and you have to focus on yourself. You have to take that inward journey and self-reflect in order to grow and position yourself for all the things that are waiting for you, because it's there, but you gotta get out of your own way, basically.
True. True. And we're going to definitely get into the talk about getting out of your own way, because I think that is part of out with the old attitudes when it comes to relationships. Wow. You know what? Since you mentioned it, let's just go for it. If you're talking about getting out of your own way, why don't we go straight for dealing with past pain? There are a lot of women, men, people who have gone from relationship to relationship without necessarily dealing with that first pain, that first issue, that first, what is that? I don't want to call it a scar because it's really a wound that mm-hmm. consistently becomes uncovered when you get hurt again, which kind of puts you back into the same type of behavior. So why don't we talk about what you have to say about dealing with past pain in order to really get into the relationships that you're looking for?
Yeah, so many people are holding on to past pain and haven't healed, and they think that they can just simply move past it or ignore it or, as I like to say, throw it in their emotional closet and lock the door. It's still there, though, and it's just waiting to come out, and when that door busts open, it's going to be something serious, and that's what happens to a lot of people. You know, they think, oh, well, when I find a good relationship, it's all just going to disappear and I'll be fine. No, it's going to be magnified. Once you get in the relationship, it's going to really show itself. And even if the person is the most amazing person, in reality, the more amazing they are, the more scared the individual becomes when they haven't healed from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is foreign to them. They're almost comforted in dysfunction. And now you have this amazing person treating you great and doing all these things, and you're like, why are they with me? Is
mm-hmm.
this too good to be true? Nah, they're setting me up. They're going to hurt
right.
me real soon. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're waiting
right.
for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
all stems from not healing from the past. So when you still have walls up, you're basically restricting your ability to love and to receive love. And you just, even if you move forward in a relationship, even if on the surface people think it's all good and you're doing fine in your relationship, no, your relationship will suffer if you don't address those past issues.
Well, let's talk about people who are in that kind of relationship, because I actually knew a few couples who were dealing with something just like that, where one individual was really afraid, and of course that causes self-sabotage, and then the other person wanted to kind of stick around and help them through it. But, you know, when I heard this, my automatic response to that is, you know, why are you going to stick around for that kind of work and that kind of you getting yourself hurt? Because this person is still hurting. So
mm-hmm.
how do you talk to a couple that, I mean, I guess on the surface or deep down, I'm not sure they do want to be together, but they're dealing with these issues that's keeping them from having the relationship that could really flourish?
Well, the thing is that it really varies, and it's hard to say because depending on the specific situation, different approaches are going to be taken, because the reality is that in some cases, the past pain is not the true issue. The true issue is you two don't have a connection. You two aren't best for each other. It's just not going to work. I can help this person heal, and when they heal, they're going to become even more clear in knowing you're not for them. All right?
Right.
But we hold on to relationships out of fear. We say it's love, I'm in love with them. No, you're not. You're afraid to be alone. You're afraid to let go. You're afraid to start all over. You're afraid to admit that I done held on to a person that I knew from the beginning I shouldn't have held on to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people stick around a lot of times. So it really depends. But even for those who are meant for each other, I think the reality is that we have to focus more on building a friendship. It's like, actually, I just posted a picture that says no matter how attractive a person's potential may be, you have to date their reality.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady was like, well, she disagrees with that because you should be able to encourage them and believing in someone. And I'm like, yeah, you can encourage them as
right.
a friend. You
right.
can support them as a friend. You don't have to be dating them, having sex with them, doing all these things, getting yourself so invested into someone who is not healed or who has not become who they need to be yet. Because
mm-hmm.
in actuality, you will stunt their growth. You will stunt their growth, and you will damage yourself in the process. And
yes.
nobody wins.
Right. So, you know what, with you saying that, I want to backtrack to the first topic of putting in the work, because it seems to me that individuals that have already ventured into these type of relationships, have they really looked at how their values mesh with this person that they're attracted to? You know, where's the dignity? What values are you looking for? What values do you know about yourself? And what are the needs? When you talk about putting in work, you know, give us a list of something individuals should be doing to really work on themselves so that they can recognize what it is that they need and if it's good for them.
Well, in order to work on yourself, you're going to have to, again, address all the past pains, and that's going to include forgiveness. Forgiveness of people who have hurt you, and most importantly, forgiveness of yourself, because a lot of people are holding that dark cloud over their own head. They don't trust themselves. They think that they're doomed for negative relationships or negative circumstances, and the reality is that what you think will be what comes to you. You attract
mm-hmm.
what you think, so you have to learn to change your perception to understand you do deserve better, but that starts with forgiving those who have hurt you, forgiving yourself. Also being patient and learning how to be alone, learning how to enjoy your own company sometimes, and how to embrace that as a moment to pray or to just get to know yourself better. Do work. Focus on the things you need to do. Also learn what your purpose is, what you're passionate about. You know, a lot of people have voids in their life because they haven't figured out who they are and what they're here for, what they're supposed to be doing with their life. And that's why even in some cases I've had where the man, the root of him cheating is that void that he has. He's looking for some way to validate himself, to feel valued in life, and getting women is like an ego booster to a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that all stems from, you know, people will look at that and say, oh, well, it's just because he's a man and he just wants sex. No, it stems from the fact that he has no purpose in his life. And when you have no purpose, you lose focus, or you have no focus sometimes. And that allows you to now search for some way to fill in that void. Some people might turn to drugs. Some people might turn to sex and relationships. Whatever it is, you're going to look for some way to fill that, and that's not good. You got to take time to yourself to really learn who you are and embrace what you need to be doing, because when you have that purpose, it changes the whole game up. And I think also people have to learn to stop being afraid to ask questions. Like, you have people in dating and relationships that don't find out pertinent information until, like,
yes.
8 months later.
Agreed.
You know, what you waiting for? I mean, really? You don't know if he wants to have kids until you're a year in the relationship? That's
yes.
unacceptable. You
well,
know?
You, I mean,
go ahead.
With you saying that, like, one of the reasons why I started this show was really to start a conversation around this and being able to ask the questions and find things out. What I found out from a lot of my peers and a lot of people who are currently looking for more fulfilling relationships is that it came from home. It stems from home. Nobody was having the conversation at home about what kind of questions to ask. And we have a lot of people who are in relationships based on the values that their parents taught them that may not necessarily work for them. Mm-hmm. And so they're afraid to kind of step out and do things a little different from the ways that their parents have taught them. What do you, you know, what do you say to individuals like this? You know, for example, there's a lot of people who grew up with the thought of you go to school, you graduate, you meet one guy, you get married, you're with him forever. And same thing, you know, or sometimes with the guys is, look, you go, you sow your oats, and you sleep with a lot of girls, and when you find the right one, then you finally settle down with that one. But either one doesn't always work out because the time hasn't been taken to really explore who they are and explore whether or not that type of value system is going to work for them. How do you speak to someone who's still carrying that value system from home and haven't explored what really is going to work for them?
Well, the first thing I would say to them is examine the person who's telling you this and how has it worked for them. The reality is that we have parents, grandparents, family, and friends telling us how to do things, but their relationships are dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they stayed together for 25, you know, I am not one of those who thinks just because someone stays together for 20, 30, 40 years that means success. Longevity does not equal success because I have seen people who were miserable for those 40 years.
Yes.
You know, so you can't, you have to base it off of what did their relationship produce? Was it really happy? Was it really what you want in your relationship? Because if not, then why would you follow that blueprint? At that point, you should be able to tell yourself, okay, I have to go about this in a different manner. Also understand that if you allow family and friends to pressure you to be with people or to take an approach that really doesn't resonate with you, well, guess what? You're the only one that's going to suffer. Because if they push you into the arms of someone you're not truly into, they're not the one that has to sleep next to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the one who's going to feel empty in this relationship and not getting what they need. So you can't allow them to pressure you. They're going to say what they're going to say because that's how family is sometimes. I mean, we many of us have experienced it in some way, shape, or form. But you have to be confident in understanding that this is your life. You have to live it, and you have to figure it out. And you can talk to them and you can ask them questions and you can explore all the options as you wish, but you have to look within yourself for the answers. And the reality is, especially when we're speaking about women, women's intuition is amazing. I think I say that like every day.
You do.
And,
you do. I hate to say it on different shows. You go, yeah, this is just amazing.
Exactly. And it's like, but they're ignoring it. So even when your parents or your friends or whatever is telling you all kinds of stuff, you know deep inside is wrong. You know deep inside whether you're feeling somebody or not. Trust your intuition. Stop letting other people throw you off. And forget just other people. Stop throwing yourself off.
Right.
It's like people don't really outsmart a woman. A woman outsmarts herself.
So you would agree that, like, part of putting in the work is really beginning to learn to trust your own intuition and follow that gut. You know, I'm looking to, like, have our listeners really hear what putting in the work means, because we hear that phrase a lot where we say, come on, you got to do the work. But nobody's telling you what that work is. Could somebody please break down the work? And sometimes our parents or our guardians or people that we trust aren't able to break that down for us. So to have you do that is a wonderful thing to say, look, there's a lot that goes into putting in the work. So let's go ahead and bullet point a couple of those again for our listeners.
Again, dealing with past pains and hurts, embracing forgiveness of others, forgiveness of yourself, learning to spend time alone, finding out what you're passionate about, what's your purpose. Learning to trust yourself, trust your intuition, your spirit. If you're a person of God, learning to speak to God directly, you know, your pastor is not God. I am not your God. These books and all these things we produce for you, yes, they are here to assist you, but they are still not God. So you have to take time to talk to him in prayer if that is your belief system. If not, then you can take a whole different approach. But anyways, you know, those are really the core things as far as – those are core general things. But then it's going to get really specific with some individuals because, like, as in the book, we'll throw another one out there. Part of doing the work may be getting rid of the guy that you're holding on to as we speak.
Right.
You know, you got to clear the path for the man that's for you by getting rid of the one who's not.
Right.
So you have to evaluate that. Why are you there? Why are you holding on to this man? Is he truly for you? Is he truly giving you what you need? If not, he is a waste of your time.
Right. I always do an evaluation every year about the individuals who are in my life and say, you know, if you're in my life and we're not moving forward or there's no increase in certain areas where we're having a better friendship or a better relationship, then what are you doing here? And I think that's important to do, that you should take yearly or bi-yearly, semi-annual evaluations of the individuals who are in your life so that you can continuously move forward and not be afraid to kind of just let things go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why, again, so in that evaluation of self, you'll be able to get a better and clearer picture of what the work you need to do is. Because, again, we can give general things, but certain people have very different things they have to address. Somebody's work may be squashing a beef they've had with their mother for 20 years, and I've literally have cases like that. Somebody else, it may be a past relationship that needs to be resolved. There was one situation where a woman – she was having problems with her baby's father because at one time he had put his hands on her 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a one-time thing. He lost his cool. It happened, never happened again. But since then, she's been in fear of him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't put him on child support, all these things. It took me talking to her and explaining to her how she needs to approach the situation. She finally spoke to him. This man never had a clue what was going on with her. He told her himself, he said, hey, put me on child support. I would never deny you that.
Right.
So for 6 years, she remained in bondage of her fear because she never properly addressed it. And she could have made her situation so much better. And not only did that fear contribute to her relationship with the baby father, but of course that then connects to why she struggles in relationships and dating.
Right. And then, of course, that kind of gets passed down to the child.
Exactly.
Because they're absolutely watching your behavior and how you are entering into relationships, leaving relationships, and behaving within relationships. So you're making an excellent point about making sure that you speak up for whatever it is. Either speak up to the person that you're in a relationship with or seek help so that someone can help you kind of understand what it is that you're going through when you don't.
Yes, definitely.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Stephane Labossiere, who is a life and relationship coach. And, of course, I guess, you know, I have a few people who are now on the line. They'd like to ask some questions. And if you have not been on the line, you want to call in. The number is 347-996-3160. But right now we're going to bring in one of the callers whose last four digits are 7181. And come on in and introduce yourself. You're on the air with Tribal Wisdom.
Hi, Cynthia. This is Gail Roddy.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You sound good this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. I always love when you call, and I love that you listen to the show.
I do. I want to make a comment, and then I want to ask Stephane. Is it okay if I call you Stephane?
Yes, definitely.
I just want to ask a question. But first, my comment was when you were talking about the questions, I guess you're still talking about that, about asking questions. And
mm-hmm.
I remember, I'm a baby boomer, and I remember when I was a young woman dating that, you know, I'd be out with a guy and spend some time with him, maybe several times. And I remember thinking, I think back on all the times, the outrageous things that they would say, that they would talk about, just in general, about what they believed, what, you know, things they followed in their lives. And I remember being afraid to say, well, that's whack, or that's stupid, or I don't believe that. You know, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. I was terrified to even say, well, why do you think that? Or give me some examples of why you think that. I was afraid to do that. So my
mm-hmm.
question is, are you still seeing women that way, fearful of asking the questions that would get them to find out, is this guy even anybody that I would want to spend time with? Does he have values that are even remotely in alignment with me? And I'm not talking about what he may tell you because, of course, as they say, when you're dating, you send in your representative. So
right.
sometimes people will say they believe X, Y, Z when they really don't. But if you listen, I remember listening so much, especially after they had a few drinks, they would really tell you what they really thought. But I was afraid to ask. So that's what I'm saying. Are you still seeing this generation of young women with that same fear that I had 100 years ago?
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of women don't want to take any risk at pushing the man away. It's
right.
almost like, let me get the man and I'll figure the rest out later.
Yes.
And that's what ends up happening. And then when later comes, it blows up in their face. And they're not
right.
really happy with what they got. And they thought somehow it could magically turn around, but it doesn't work that way. So definitely, in so many different ways, women are fearful to hold to their certain standards that they have. I mean, there's women who are trying to be celibate, will have sex just to give it to him to hope that he'll keep him there and then try to somehow manage this in between, I got to be celibate, but I'm trying to keep him around type deal. Like, there's just all kinds of bad approaches being taken, all due to the fear of, I don't want to risk pushing this man away or losing him, even though he's not best for them anyway.
Right. And I remember for me, my fear was that because, and you've talked about this already too, is that my fear was I really didn't know myself that well. I didn't know my own values, really. I mean, I had them, but I wasn't secure enough in them to challenge someone else who might have had different values. I felt I didn't have the right to challenge them. As a woman, I mean, that was my cultural imprinting that I got, that you didn't have the right to challenge someone else. You had to be forgiving, you had to be loving, you had to be accepting, and therefore you shouldn't challenge. And I look back on that, the folly of that got me in so much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
anyway,
you know what?
That's my two cents. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you, Gail, for calling in. Everyone, you're just listening to the Sister Whisperer. I love when she calls in because she always makes such wonderful points on what we are talking about. And to that, she brought up something that I definitely want to address, the process of listening. It brings us back to putting in the work. How do we make young ladies and young men understand that that putting in the work is also includes the process of listening?
Well, with the men, unfortunately, and I have to be honest here, it's hard to get them to understand to put in the work when they're seeing men get so much for so little. And that is probably the biggest problem. Like, literally, I can write an article about five things a man should do for a woman, and they will scoff at it. Oh, please, I see men who ain't worth nothing getting these women. I don't have to do all that. I'm not doing all that. You don't get nothing for all that. Men are starting to condition themselves to believe, or are starting to be conditioned to believe, that the worse you treat a woman, the more you get out of her. She wants the loser. She wants the guy, the underachiever, and they don't feel like they need to push that hard anymore. And whether it's true in their situations, that's their perception of it. You know, and some just become resentful, very resentful. That's why there's a lot of bitterness, especially in the black community, is because a lot of these men feel like, you know, the women are giving more benefit and more praise to the guy who's a douchebag, who does nothing, who treats them bad, and shouldn't be worth their time. So it's very difficult sometimes to reach men in that regard because they continuously see that example being put in front of their face. But regardless, I'm going to still always try to talk to them, and I still encourage others to push the message of, yes, we have to do work to become who we need to become and to get the best out of life. That's just the way it works. I don't care if it's relationships, your career, whatever. You have to put in work. That's the way it is. And to go to your point of to listen, how can you learn effective ways to do things if you're not listening? If I want to please a woman, I need to listen to people telling me how to please a woman. I need to hear right. this woman out that I'm talking to. If I want to build a business, I need to talk and listen to other business builders who have had success. We have to read more. I think, mm-hmm. you know, I'm someone, I'm not going to lie, when I was younger, I laughed at you if you told me to read a book. I mean, I looked at you with the side eye, like, get out of my face. Now, I can't stop reading.
Right.
I
want right.
to read all the time because I realize not you need that knowledge, and you have to listen. You have to be willing to receive more information and understand that there's always more to learn. There's always room to grow. And in doing that, you're going to be able to produce so many great things in your life and receive so many blessings. But the minute we start to shut down and not listen to others and not be receptive to what's being said, we stunt our growth and we don't allow ourselves to make any progress in our lives.
Okay. So I like that you're saying that everyone is going to come into their level of growth at different times. We all don't always grow together. We don't always mature as early as others. But my question to you would be, and this could be your personal opinion, have we dropped the ball on teaching our young ladies and our young men what their value is in our society and how choosing right relationships will affect our society for the future? Have we dropped the ball in really teaching them that relationships are a part of our future, are a vital part of our future?
We didn't drop the ball. We threw it away. We kicked that sucker away to the other side. We said, we're not doing nothing. I mean, it's horrible. I'll be honest. It is, we are doing a poor job of helping others because the reality is most of us can't help ourselves. Mm-hmm. So how can we really teach others when we're struggling in our own situations, when we haven't learned to step outside of ourselves and take a better approach and evaluate what we're doing wrong? Everybody's so defensive mm-hmm. nowadays. And again, they just want to blame and point the finger at any and everything else but themselves. So because of that, it's very hard to hold an individual to a certain standard when we don't hold ourselves to that same standard. It's almost like if I'm a smoker, mm-hmm. how can I turn around and tell you to stop? It's going to be hard for me to tell you to stop smoking. Because I still smoke, and I want to validate me smoking. And I'm not picking on smokers or saying smoking is wrong. I'm not making that point here. I'm simply using that as an example right now.
Right.
I can use alcohol or crack, whatever. The mm-hmm. point is, when we're struggling with something, it's harder for us to then call someone else out for it because then we have to evaluate ourselves. You know, like I'm also a certified personal trainer. And I had one woman who was like 56 years old. She weighed 369 on blood pressure medication, diabetes, I mean all kinds of medication, sleep apnea, mm-hmm. you name it. We mm-hmm. got her down to 298 pounds. She's mm-hmm. only 5'5", okay? Mm-hmm. Her family told her she's getting too skinny.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. This woman is still on medication. She was able to get off the blood pressure, but she was still on some medication, bad knees. But she's feeling better, she's loving herself, and they try to tell her stop. And that's what we do with relationships. We almost sabotage each other because why? They were also very big.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing they wanted to do was celebrate her progress because they would have to face themselves in the mirror. So to make themselves feel better, they had to tell her, you're too skinny.
Right.
Because if she's too skinny, then their size is acceptable, obviously. You know, that's the way they want to phrase it. So, and again, that's just one example, but that principle applies in all ways. A lot of us are just trying to defend our current position, and we sabotage each other. We're not only not helping each other, we're sabotaging each other on top of that.
Okay. So, in that respect, how and this is, again, a question about your opinion. How do we go about repairing or taking the ball back, taking our power back when it comes to teaching individuals? And I guess it's more than just the youth. It's older individuals, too, because they still have some of their old value system about their own value, about stepping in and celebrating themselves and understanding their worth so that they can make a different choice and move forward into a loving relationship, a relationship that actually is a living example for other individuals?
We just got to become those examples. We have to become that person who's healed. We have to become that person who's willing to love and be loved. In doing that, we will show other people that they can do it too. You know, when they see it for themselves, because there's a lot of people who will say, well, I've never seen an example of a good marriage. And that's why they have a skeptical perception. Mm-hmm. But if we start on an individual level, building better relationships, building better marriages, building better everything, now you present that example. And everyone may not buy into it, but someone's going to be impacted by it. And it's just one person at a time. We just got to help each individual that we come across. We have to try to take a positive approach to all that we do, not be so negative, not be so quick to fight back negativity with more negativity. You know, like in my line of work, I've learned if somebody comes at me sideways, I don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. I learned to just, I'm going to fight back with more love. I'm going to fight back with so much love, you're either going to walk away from me because you can't stand me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or
right.
I'm going to break you. And now you're going to end up opening up, and we're going to be able to help you move into a much better place. But you're not going to get me to fall into that trap of being negative with you. Mm-mm, I don't got time for that, and that doesn't help anybody.
Well, I can absolutely say that I've witnessed it, that everyone is not at that level. You know, when you're still wounded and someone comes at you with negativity, you're going to be fighting like a cornered cat. Mm-hmm. So it does perpetuate it. So I've seen it happen a lot of times. And then I guess, you know, how are you able to see? I always ask a few of my friends who they can see a really good relationship before them, but can they really see it? Because they're still kind of bogged down in the past of what they've gone through. So they don't necessarily recognize something good on the outside of them. So how can they recognize something good for them?
Well, because, and that's what the thing is, they can't recognize the good outside of them because the good within them is not where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you're dwelling in negativity, then you're going to find negativity in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it goes back to individual healing. We just have to, as individuals, heal and help each other heal. And in doing that, we can start to get people in a better place, and they will be able to see good. Because when someone is happy and at peace and really exuding positive energy, they look for good in things. They look for the bright side. But when you're dwelling in negativity, you're always looking for the negative side. Mm-hmm. Even when it presents itself to be good. That's why, like the earlier example, if you're a woman you haven't healed and that amazing man comes your way, you're not going to sit there and just dwell in his positivity. You're going to say, no, something has to be wrong. This is not normal. Because you're dwelling in negativity within yourself, and that has to be resolved before you can truly embrace love and all the good things that are there for you and that exist in the world.
Right, right. Okay, now we still have another question that's in the event, but I want to go to the three bullet points that you make in your book, the first being character and respect, the second being prepare and position yourself, and the other being being able to put yourself out there. Let's talk about those three when we're talking about character and respect, because you do come from a spiritual point of view in your book. What is it that you're saying about levels of character and respect when you're looking to get into that right relationship with someone?
Well, if there's no respect, there's no relationship. You just have two people just trying to get what they can out of each other. Mm-hmm. And as a woman, you have to understand that if he doesn't respect you, his attention means nothing. And you have so many women selling their respect off in order to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fleeting thing. It's there right now, and then it's gone. His attention can move very fast. His respect can remain, and that's why you have to hold yourself to a certain standard and not fall into the traps of getting caught up in just trying to get a man's attention. That has doomed so many women. Mm-hmm. So by focusing on building yourself as a woman, your character, becoming the woman that you truly are, you will get the things that are for you. But what happens is a lot of women, they get caught up. You know, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the hoes are winning. And because of that, people figure, well, forget this. Forget being a good girl. Huh?
I hadn't heard that phrase, but I'm like, okay, I guess I got to start listening out for this phrase now.
Yeah, I mean, and because they actually believe this is the case, they start to lower their standards. They start to do things they shouldn't be doing, sell themselves short. And what they don't realize is they've thrown themselves out of that category that a lot of men truly want, and into just another one of those girls.
Now, we're going to come back to the category that men want, because I find that interesting that you said that, because I'm not sure that's something that anybody really talks about. What is it that men want? And I think you did put that question out on your Facebook page and got a few responses. So we're going to backtrack to that in a second. So you talked about character and respect and how you should be holding yourself, and that you shouldn't let that go just because you think the as you say, the hoes are winning. So, So you want to hold on to your character and your respect, and you want to know what that is anyway. You want to make sure that it's something that you're developing, and that you are taking advice from women who have character and respect about themselves, or who have a man of character and respect, and begin to really understand what that is and how that works. Now, you also talked about preparation and positioning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your points on that.
Well, with that, you know, again, the preparation is part of, in connection with the whole putting in the work. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that there's a process you have to undergo in order to get what you deserve. It's almost like if you want to be a lawyer, you got to go through college and you got to pass that bar. You can't just jump to being a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way. If you want to be a quality lawyer, at least, I mean, you might do some backyard stuff, but that's not going to really work. So even in love and in life, there's a process and there's a growth that has to be undertaken from you, and that requires you preparing for the blessing, preparing yourself to where you can receive that love. Because, again, as we've said multiple times in this interview, if you haven't healed and that great guy comes, you're going to run from him. You're not going to be able to receive him. You're going to find some way to try to maybe stash him to the side, but you're not going to embrace being with him. That means you're not ready. You did not prepare. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, I want to be a millionaire, but I don't get my finances in order. So what happens is when that million comes, I blow it. I blow it in a few weeks because I never prepared for that. So that's the whole preparation. Prepare for being, if your desire is to be a wife and have a great marriage, you need to prepare to be a wife now. You can't wait till you get married. You know, like the scripture says, he who findeth a wife. It does not say he who findeth a woman who wants to get married. There's a difference
right.
there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So
yes.
that's the mentality that I think women have to take, or people have to take in general. Prepare for what you want to receive. Dress for the position that you desire. You know? Now, positioning yourself is simply, you got to put yourself out there. You can't hide in your house and think God's going to drop some man at your doorstep like he's FedEx. You
Wait,
can't
so
go online and make an order.
That's not how it works, really?
No, that's not how it works. God got rid of that system a long time ago.
Okay, so we're talking about the real system, and you know, we were hoping that we could just put in an order and have them delivered, but since that is not the case, putting yourself out there, when you talk to either individuals who are just starting to date, or they're coming out of, let's say, a divorce and want to get back into a relationship, or just out of a long-term relationship and want to get back into dating, when is the right time for them to put themselves out there if they're still dealing with this past pain, worn down from the past relationship, and the disappointments and the getting hurt? If they're too afraid to get hurt, do you still recommend that they go ahead and kind of put themselves out there?
No, they should not be dating until they resolve that, period. If anything, listen, to be honest with you, we have to also understand that if you are a spiritual person and believer in God, God don't know nothing about boyfriend and girlfriend. That's not biblical. He don't entertain that.
I've never seen
okay? That was some stuff we made up so that we can test drive the emotional part of the relationship, so that we can test drive and get the benefits of a marriage without being married. That's our nonsense that we put out there. God don't got nothing to do with that. So with that said, the greater focus should be placed on friendship, because if you can't be friends with the person, you're not going to have a great marriage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Plain
mm-hmm.
and simple. Mm-hmm. And while you're trying to heal, it's a great opportunity that gives you time to heal while you're still learning somebody, without the pressure, without all the nonsense. And like the caller said earlier, I can't remember her name, but the first caller,
Gail,
Gail, when people are dating, they have their representatives anyway. People
right.
are fronting on each other. All right?
Right.
So it's like, at least when you're friends, you know, it's more likely people are keeping it real when they're being friends.
Yeah.
All right? But when
yeah.
you're dating, it's a bunch of phoniness.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a flawed process anyway. It's a flawed approach regardless. But I understand some people want to hold on to the whole dating concept. Okay, cool. That's fine. But even if you want to date and take that kind of approach, you should still make sure you wait till you're truly ready. Because if you get too involved with somebody before you have truly healed and worked some things out, you're going to create a bigger mess.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, I want to say 99.9% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That you're just going to create a mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to create a mess.
Okay. So now the question, because believe it or not, we've got like 10 minutes left, but I'm sure that we're going to go over
That's
our time.
I told you. I think I told you that. It always goes over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, trust me. I know. I'm doing this every week, and everyone is always surprised when the hour is up and we continue to talk, because it's always a great conversation. So the question that was placed in the event was, how do you deal with a blended family where the children are older, grown out of the house, and responsible? Are they still considered stepchildren to the person who's getting into the relationship? How does she deal with her intended grown children, I think is the question.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think that just depends on that specific dynamic as far as how involved is her partner with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Are they around a lot? I think regardless, just treat them like adults. Just treat them with respect. Talk to them. If there's conflict there, because I'm assuming that maybe she's sensing some kind of awkwardness. Maybe
yeah,
they're not as
so
receptive to her.
Right.
Huh?
That's what I'm thinking, too, the way that she says, how do you deal with it? I'm like, okay, all right. We don't have all the information.
Exactly. That's what kind of got me to pause, because I'm like trying to figure out what exactly is going on here. So I do think more information is needed, but I think regardless, there just needs to be communication, and there needs to be a genuine approach to the situation. But at the end of the day, yeah, you don't have to, it's not you have to baby them. They're grown adults, but you should be able to speak to them and talk to them when they are around. There should be a comfortable, a level of comfortableness or, you know, in that situation. So I don't know. I think it's hard to give a complete, clear answer without more information on that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that ultimately, communication is key. Talk to your partner. Find out what the problem is. How can it be resolved? If there's a sibling, if there's a child who has a direct issue with her, maybe it's time to sit down and talk and find out why. They might be holding on to resentment because, you know, you're not the original mother, whatever the case may be. But
mm-hmm.
that can be solved through a proper, positive approach and good communication.
Okay. So we've answered that question. So now let's just get back to what you're talking about, where we haven't even touched on the other book, because we focused on God, Where Is My Boaz, and
mm-hmm.
and having women, generally women, kind of really pull themselves together. We talked about putting in the work, getting his attention, building your character and respect, understanding your value, so that when you do step out there, you will automatically know what you should and should not accept from someone who is trying to court you. So if we go to the other side of how to get a woman to have sex with you if you're her husband, why don't you, you know, talk to me a little bit about this book, how you decided to write this book, because that is a very interesting title. I'm like, well, okay, you know, that makes me wonder if I'm ever, I'm like, what, that's a problem, really?
Okay, so, oh, yeah, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. You don't even know. The thing is, you know, when I was coaching, at one time I was coaching a lot of couples. And I mean, I still coach couples, but there was one period where it was a lot. And all of the husbands were complaining about a lack of sex, like every last one of them. And what I noticed was a constant theme where the woman, the wife felt like, well, why should I have to explain to him what he needs to do? He should know already. He should figure this out. I've been with him how many years now? How does he not know? And because of this, there's this gap of communication, and nothing's being solved. There's a lot of frustration. He's not getting what he needs. She's not getting what she needs. And, yeah, they suffer for it sexually and in the relationship as a whole. So the book came from that. And also just praying. Everything I do, I pray about it first, and God told me, you know, this is the book I need to write, because the reality is that from a business standpoint, this is not a lucrative book to write, okay, because I'm talking mainly to men, even though women can learn from it as well. And we all know men aren't don't read more than women do, or don't buy books more than women do. But for me, it was about principle. You know, if we're going to sit here and say men should be head of households, well, then they need to lead as examples. They need to know what they need to do. They need to be given advice, too. And that's why I decided to write the book for them first. And also because there's a flood of books for women. So I'm like, okay, I got to start off with the guys. I just think that's the way it should be. So anyways, the book is pretty much explained to them, hey, you know, what you need to understand about your wife to get her to be more sexually receptive and to create a better relationship, understanding that sex for a woman is not just physical, it's very emotional, and there's a lot that goes into what could possibly shut her down, turn her off, and make her less likely to have sex with you. But also I think that what I've come to realize more and more since writing the book is that a lot of people are fronting on each other when they're dating when it comes to sex.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men swear they are laying it down when they're not doing a dang thing. That woman is screaming and hollering, faking her orgasms really good,
right,
but she's not really getting nothing, all right? And unfortunately, you know, we laugh at it, and it's, you know, it sounds funny, but it sets up the battle in the marriage because he thinks he's doing something. He thinks, oh, well, my girl likes sex, we're good to go. And I've had even women who would tell their husbands, or when they were just boyfriends, oh, you'll never have to worry about sex. You'll never, never have to worry about that. And that's the same one who doesn't want to do it when they're married. But the reason why is not because they're married, it's because it never was really good to begin with. But she was trying to hold on to her man. She was trying to make him happy. She didn't want to tell him it wasn't that good. Now they're married, she can't keep up the act forever.
Right.
And when a woman is not being satisfied, it's almost like going to work and not getting paid. Who wants to keep going to work?
Right. Right.
And that's what pretty much it is.
All right. So, I mean, with you saying that, I'm guessing, I'm sure it's not even a guess, I believe that what's lacking here is a level of connection and communication, like you said. How is it, since we're talking about throwing out the old for a better new year, Let's talk to couples, let's talk to individuals and relationships and say, here are the old patterns and old ways of thinking that will keep you from having exactly what it is that you want.
Well, the main thing is communication. You have to learn to start talking to each other. Because whether, you know, in regards to the sex situation, whether it was good once upon a time and it went bad, or it never was really all that, and you just weren't being honest about it, the problem is you need to discuss that. That needs to be communicated. And I understand there's a fear of hurting that person's feelings, but you're only causing more damage by not saying anything.
Right.
So if you want a better approach for the new year, we got to start with communication. But to add on to the communication piece, understand it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can't be blurting out and say, hey, man, you suck in bed. That just doesn't work, and I don't like it. That's not going to be good.
You know what?
He's not
right going
to be receptive to that.
You
okay?
are writing a comedy skit right now. I can't even understand you. That
For
is
real.
Absolutely hilarious. Okay, so communication. So let's talk about the ways to communicate to your husband or to the person that you're in a relationship with when it comes to expressing your needs.
You got to be delicate. Whenever you're offering up, for real.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to let that come out like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh out loud. You know, I'm only laughing because I know that usually what happens when individuals are in a relationship, they tend not to even express what's happening or what's wrong until it's gotten to a point where it does not come out delicately.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
So it's for you just, to say, just be delicate, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's funny, that's hilarious too. How then? Maybe we better talk about the when.
The when?
The when to talk about it delicately, because don't let it get to a boiling point where it just explodes on you.
Exactly. Don't wait. Don't bring it out when you guys are in the heat of a battle. It's almost like now you're arguing and, well, yeah, but your sex ain't good, and I should have told you that a long time ago. Like, really? You going to throw that at him now? You know? You think he's going to really be receptive to it? No.
Probably not. No.
Exactly. No. And it's the same thing with, you know, men criticizing women. You have to be smart about how you're going to discuss these things. So my advice to people is always wait till it's calm. Wait till it's cool. When you guys are good, see, some people have this mentality, well, I don't want to talk about it when things are good because I don't want to mess everything up. No, that's the perfect time to talk about it because that's when they're most receptive. But, again, it's not just talking about it when things are good. It's how you're delivering that message, all right? Mm-hmm. You have to – don't just criticize and dismiss all their efforts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when someone says, well, you never do this and you never do that, and it's like, did you forget all the times I did X, Y, Z? You have to be able to say, you know what, I appreciate such and such, but I need this more from you more. You know, we need to improve this. I'm still recognizing your efforts, but I'm saying, well, we need to do a better job in certain areas. And that applies to the sex thing, too. It's like, it's one thing to tell the guy he's just not good enough versus, you know what, I want to have more sex with you, and I want us to make this better. So I think that if we do X, Y, and Z, we can make this sex life better. You see how much different that comes across than just saying, well, you don't do this right, and I don't like this, and that needs to change. Like, that's not going to go over well with anybody.
Well, then if we're going to say that, then we definitely have to talk about how communication is learned from the time that you are born up until the time you get into a relationship. Because and to me, that's a biggie. That's huge, because you're learning communication in the household that you're in, whether you're in a single family home, right? I mean, a single parent home, or even a two parent home that don't communicate well. How, I mean, and you don't take communications until you get to college. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Sometimes.
and it's true. It's sometimes. By the time you're really truly learning what it means to communicate and how to communicate with people, you're getting wrong information from your friends and your peers who've just tried things and it didn't really work, or mm-hmm. it might be working for them, but then, you know, they're meeting each other's representative and they're just trying to make the end game getting married and get the man, get the girl, and then when you're in the relationship, you want to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's probably very important to really include long chapters of putting in the work, that part about putting in the work, communication. How do we do that? How do we get that started? Because it seems like that is the main, that's the foundation right there.
Well, I think we get it started by being honest with each other. As far as friends and family, the reality is that we all know people who are horrible communicators, who mm-hmm. are just stank as we don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can't stand when they talk to us. But we don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tell them. And then when they go into their relationship and we make them believe that they're okay with their approach, they don't learn anything. Because, you know, it's going to be hard sometimes to just communicate with others or people that you're now dating that, okay, you got to change your ways. Because, again, for them, it's like, well, if everybody else was okay with it, then you're the problem. It's not me. And that's why we have to be honest with each other as friends and family and call each other out on our shortcomings, you know, because, again, whether we understand, even if we don't understand as an individual how to properly communicate, we sure know when someone don't know how to communicate. I mean, like,
this is
that's
true.
Easy to tell. Okay?
That's true.
So we got to call that out. We have to be real. Hey, I don't like the way you talk to me.
Yes.
I think you're horrible the way you talk to people. Let
you
them know, because when they hear it enough, because I'm telling you right now, I've had individuals where I try to tell them, yo, people don't like talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
Oh, no, you're tripping. Oh, you're hating. Oh, this. It's like, no, your friends just won't tell you.
Right.
I'm telling you the truth. But that's what makes it harder, is because other people aren't being honest with each other about what's going on.
Oh, see, now you said the H word. Hold on. See, now I have to write this down. because that's a minefield. I mean, I think that we're just starting to really get into the areas where there are mines that can really blow up in everyone's faces because it's not being addressed. Now, I think I better go ahead and apologize because I forgot to remind people that since the conversation is going over time, that they needed to call in and listen to the rest, because if they were listening on the internet, they got cut off and will have to listen to the archive. So I have to apologize right now. So if you're listening on the archives, let me say I'm so sorry that I forgot to remind you to call in order to hear the rest of the conversation. And for those of you who are listening by phone, ooh, you are lucky, because I'm so glad that you're on. I thank you for calling in and listening. And now, you know, let's go back to this minefield called honesty, communication, and connection. Clearly, you know you're going to have to write this article for me at some point. This is an article all by itself. People are tiptoeing around each other and not expressing themselves and saying, I don't like the way that you're talking to me right now. You know, you do have the neck rollers who say, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I see that a lot. You know, I see individuals, even in the way that they express that, it puts everybody on defense. So how do you do this? I mean, let's talk to people and say, if there's something up with you, you need to express that you dislike it right then and there, and you don't have to say it in a nasty tone, but you should definitely express it.
Yeah, the thing is, people tend to not say it because they're afraid to push the person away. They're afraid of the way that person's going to respond, having to deal with that person arguing with them and all these different things. So they figure, I just don't want to deal with it, so I'm not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, I always tell people, well, if you're going to still be their friend or if you're still their family, you still have to deal with it. Like, so to completely ignore it and try to run away from it is doing you no good, because you're still going to have to deal with this person. So you might as well tell them. And don't be fearful of pushing people away when you're being honest. I can tell you, as someone who's been honest all my life,
mm-hmm.
it don't matter how many times somebody get mad at me for telling them the truth, they always come back.
Right.
It's
okay.
Almost like we crave genuine, real honesty from people. No matter how much we don't like it, no matter how bad we received it, we end up gravitating right back to that individual that we know we can get an honest answer from.
Right. Well, you know what, then with that being said, then we need to really talk about, because then now we're back to true friendship.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about friendship and being around trusted friends to be able to tell us, you really have to change the way you speak to people, or you really have to learn to be more open, or, you know, to if we're out with the old for a better new year, let's bring it home. Let's talk about the things that we should start looking into, including, you know, being mindful of the friends that you have around you, you know, basically choosing your friends, choosing the way you speak to people, learning yourself, watching your tones, really putting in the work, as you say, to become this person that you want to be with, actually. Because they say, you know, I always hear the saying, you meet no one but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And although you meet someone who might be very rude, you don't think that that's you, but it is a part of your personality in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put out a couple of bullet points of what we're pushing out for the year 2013, where we're winding down, we're getting out of here, we're moving into 2014. Let's make it better. Let's make a better 2014 by doing what?
By removing all things negative. So if you got negative friends, and you know what, let me not say just removing, by addressing all things negative, which may lead to removing some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have negativity that exists with you and your friends, it needs to be addressed. If you have negativity that exists between you and family members, it should be addressed. In your relationship, at your job, all of it should be addressed, because you're not going to be able to live a happy, fulfilling life when you're constantly surrounded by so much negativity.
Yeah.
And we have to start with ourselves, changing our perception, our approach. Like, I had one client who she was talking about her boss is such a B word, and you know, so mean and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, listen, everybody's a human being. They all have something they're dealing with, whether you realize it or not. I guarantee
right.
you take a positive approach, watch what happens. She was like, no, that's not true. I said, just trust me and do it. The same day she goes to work, the boss gives her a gift. The boss is being all nice. And she said she went into work and made a decision to be positive today, that no
mm-hmm.
matter what, she's going to be positive. And she saw what happened. It had an amazing effect. And that's why I say address before remove, because sometimes we just want to remove things, but we're not really addressing it.
Right.
And those things may not need to be removed. That boss
right.
didn't need to leave that job. She just needs to learn how to talk to her boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
but,
and in a relationship, some of you are going to be able to talk to your partner, and it's going to make everything better. Some
mm-hmm.
of you are going to talk to your partner, and it's going to be even clearer that you ain't got no business being with them.
right.
That's all it is. You know, I can't.
Okay.
It is what it is.
all right. Okay. So, wonderful. You know what? Of course, we're way past our 60 minutes, which, of course, I'm not surprised by. And let me just kind of leave everyone off with some of your points to remember from the book. Like you said, number one, prepare and position yourself. You have to embody the role of the wife you want a man to see you as, and then make yourself seen so that you can receive the man for you.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent point. Point number two was let faith and not fear guide you. God does not want you operating out of fear. Faith should be your guide and true love should be your fuel. I think I love that's my favorite one so far. because I, you know, I always tell people you can only make a decision out of two, you know, from two ways, either faith or fear or love and fear. And you always
mm-hmm.
know what decision you made based on the outcome. So to read that, I'm in total agreement that love should absolutely be your fuel for everything. And then you said the third one. I know there's more, but you know I'll stop at the third one. Just because he's a good guy doesn't mean he is the right guy for you. You
mm-hmm.
need a deeper connection.
yes, I gave a strong.
okay, you need a deeper connection than deep like in order to sustain the love and type of relationship you desire. Look deeper than a man with a great resume. Excellent, excellent point once again. I really think that individuals should put their own resumes together, and that will help them to engage in putting in the work
yes.
for themselves. So, again, to our listeners who are on the line, thank you so much for calling in. We love that you support the show, and, of course, to our listeners via internet, we love you as well. I forgot to open up the chat room today, just so excited about this whole show. But, Stefan, of course, I want to invite you back to do another show with us at any time.
I'm all for it. Anytime you let me know, and I'm down.
Wonderful. Why don't you tell everyone where we can find you, though, since we didn't touch on that at all?
All right. Well, they can find me on my website, www.stephanspeaks.com. That's S-T-E-P-H-A-N, speaks.com. On Twitter, at Stefan Speaks. On Facebook, Stefan Speaks Relationships. They can get my best-selling book, God, Where Is My Boaz, at godwhereismyboaz.com. And just want to mention two quick programs I have coming up. One is a teleseminar coming in 2 weeks called Why Men Overlook Good Girls and What You Can Do About It. It'll be a two-week course, so you can sign up for that by emailing me at contact@stephanspeaks.com. And then I have a different one called Love and Success. And that is for the professional women who are struggling with dating and relationships and helping them find their way and get the results that they need. To sign up for that, you can email me at contact@lovelessons.com or contact@thelovelessons.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I want to invite you to post all that information into the event so that people can read it and get to it and follow you.
Okay.
And I might put in a request that you write a book called The Hoes Are Not Winning.
No, I promise I have like a few variations of that. And like I'll tell you one. I was actually gonna write a book called Why He Chooses the Hoe Over the Housewife.
You know what? I would be you can't tell me this kind of stuff because I don't have too much fun with it. You know, I have been, you know, serious enough throughout this entire show. Most people, my guests, know that when they come on in the show with me, I'm usually a crack up, and I'll say all kinds of, you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. But that is so funny. That is too funny. I need to see all the variations of this book, but I definitely want the, you know, the hoes are not winning, or how to help the hoes not win, something mm-hmm. like that.
I got you. Okay. You requested it. I got you.
Yay, goody. Even if it's just a chapter, it doesn't have to be the whole book. But if it's a chapter, I'm gonna definitely mm-hmm. talk to people about that. That's hilarious. Okay. So, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Stefan, for being on the show today and really helping to enlighten us about the attitudes and our ways and habits that we need to get rid of in order to have a better new year. As you know, this is Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson from Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. So we are devoted to love. We can't wait to have you back on next week listening to our next show. And go into the event and get all the information that you need. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And send us your information, if you will. So please, we love you. Have a wonderful night.